the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Matinere.
Good morning, and thank you so much for joining us today on As Goes Wisconsin. We're going to have a fun show. Carol Kane and Greg Bach are with me in studio. Calvin is on the board. And of course, we'd love to hear from you. You can call or text at 844-967-2789, 844-96.
Ho, 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 party.
Nice, Greg Bach. Or if you're watching.
Well, I'm Santa.
Go ahead.
No, I'm Santa. I'm Santa anymore. You call me Greg Bach.
Oh,
thanks.
Sorry. Sorry, Santa. If you're watching on the live stream as well on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, you can always leave a comment there as well. Next hour at 11:06, there's this. It's called Atypical Canine Respiratory Disease.
Right.
Which started showing up in Wisconsin in late October. And I have seen a lot of discussion about this. And obviously, dog owners are very concerned about this. Not quite sure what this is. So at 11:06, Keith Polson, the director of the Wisconsin Veterinary Diagnostic Lab at UW-Madison, is going to join us and talk about, again, this canine respiratory disease. And
it's pretty serious.
It sounds like it, but it doesn't seem like it's necessarily fatal.
No.
So that's good.
Yes.
Not that I've heard, yeah.
Right. And so, again, that's coming up at 11:06. And then after that, we're going to have some Christmas fun about Christmas traditions, things to do, all kinds of things going on around southeastern Wisconsin and really across the state.
Jane said before the show that we have to have fun in the second hour. We must have Christmas fun or candy canes will be distributed.
No, you will be hit with a candy cane if we don't have fun in the second hour.
Now I'm even more afraid.
I'm sure. I wanted to start out with our favorite popcorn king, Robin Voss.
He's the only popcorn king in my heart.
Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. In an interview with PBS Wisconsin's Here and Now that will air tonight, Robin Voss said he does expect a redistricting lawsuit filed by Democrats that's currently before the state Supreme Court will result in the current maps being overturned. Quote, we already know what's happening, so it's not some kind of a big mystery that we don't know we're going to get maps, unquote. So if they do rule that the current maps are unconstitutional, the whole legislature, all 132 of them, could face re-elections.
Yeah.
And this could come down pretty quickly because the argument's already happened.
Well, when we spoke to somebody, like, I think it was last week or
was
2 weeks
ago. Was it Joe Zepecki?
Yeah, he said it could come down as soon as January.
Yeah.
And get ready then. Get your yard signs, get your treasures in order, and start asking for money because you might be running for re-election whether you knew it or not.
Or yeah, that's very true. It will be interesting to see how that shakes out. And then also, Voss told the Associated Press that a bill to legalize medical marijuana is on the horizon. He has previously said, of course, he will never support recreational marijuana. Governor Evers and Democratic lawmakers have all called for full legalization.
Yeah.
So it sounds kind of like it's like a bipartisan kind of a thing that they're leaning towards. I think it's silly not to do it. Just because of the fact that, you know, you've got the states around us that are making millions.
Yes.
That can, you know, help us with our taxes and things like that.
Yep.
I don't understand the push against it.
And why you would turn this money away.
Well, right. Because it's going south, it's going east, it's going north.
Yep.
Even to Iowa.
Well, what's your deal with Iowa?
Because Iowa to me just seems to be extraordinarily religious. And very conservative, even more conservative than Wisconsin. And that's why I find it so surprising.
A bunch of farmers.
Well, right. But that's why it surprised me that they have medical marijuana. If Iowa can have it, why can't we have it?
You're asking the wrong gal. I just think that there's so much. I mean, look what Colorado has done. You know, you've got, I know somebody whose son runs a dispensary.
Oh, really?
And he's making money hand over fist.
Does he have anywhere to bank it? Because that still remains a problem.
That's still the problem is, like, they have to deal mainly in cash. They're not, as far as I know, and if you do know this, please call or text 844-967-2789. They're a deal with, like, you know, federal taxes. They can't do federal taxes because it's not legal in the United States of America. It's legal in their state. So, yeah, I mean, I'd be interested to hear what he has to do with all the hurdles he has to jump to get his money right with taxes and the IRS, because...
Well, you know, when I went to the one in Michigan, the dispensary, I don't think I used cash.
Really?
I mean, do you have any idea? I don't remember.
Because it was really good stuff.
Because to tell you the truth, you know, you walk in and it's just like, wow.
Yeah, it hits you.
But I mean, the one that I went to in Michigan, it's just out of pure curiosity. Speak, Carol. Get it out. I was really curious as to go and see what, you know, the workings were.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, they had those stanchions set up like you have at Six Flags.
Yeah.
And I was probably like number 50 in line.
Wow.
That was packed.
Oh, they're making tons.
They're making lots.
They're making lots and lots of money. They really are. I think it's something like Illinois, I believe, is pulling in something like $32 million. And a lot of that's coming from Wisconsin.
Well,
oh, hell yeah.
We're giving, they said, yeah, $32 million from us. And they said that the LRB said that we stand to make at like a conservative $115, $120 million a year just in taxes. That's conservative.
Yeah.
A lot of these states, like Colorado, they started like $200 million. Now they're making billions of dollars in taxes.
Illinois state data shows they made $36.1 million last year just off of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
The Legislative Fiscal Bureau estimates that we could make about $166 million a year if it legalized recreational marijuana. That's not medical marijuana. 844-967-2789. Gary from Sussex is on the line. Good morning, Gary. Merry Christmas.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you guys, too. I've been listening to you guys a lot. I call maybe once every 2 weeks. I don't know if you remember me or not.
Sure.
I'm a conservative. I love listening to you guys. I learn from you guys, and we have very nice conversations because we talk back and forth. Okay. But on this one here, you got my dandruff. Okay.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what my experience with this. My oldest son, when he was 17 years old, started smoking pot with his friends. He totally changed from a A student to an F student.
Huh.
Skipping school, totally. Now, I understand that if you're an adult and your brain is all developed and you're 25 years old, and if you want to smoke joints, that's up to you, because it doesn't really, you matured by 25. But having 18, 19-year-old kids, even 21-year-old men and women smoking marijuana when their brains are still developing. Now, I did a lot of research because my son was in drug rehab for many, many years, okay? And they said your brain actually changes. Like, if you and I were going to go north to south, we go direct. But someone on pot, their brain changes, so they go east, and then they go west, and then they go down south. So it actually changes. Now, the thing is, you talk about making money, $160 million on recreational marijuana for this state. Okay, but what is the cost for drug rehabilitation and rehab and the whole shooting shebang? Now, I don't know if you have grandkids. I have 11 of them.
Wow.
I got 11 grandkids. And I don't want these kids smoking cigarettes, let alone smoking dope or smoking crack or smoking marijuana and stuff like that. Even Snoop Dogg just came out and said, I'm done. I'm not smoking cigarettes and not smoking pot. It messes your life up. And hey, it's not all about money, James. You know, it's just
that. Oh, Gary, you're absolutely right. And it isn't just about money. And I think you make a really good point about the need for more mental health facilities and for drug rehab. And absolutely, I'm not disputing that. But it's here. It's already here. So your son was smoking pot before it was even, before even medical marijuana was being considered.
Where was he getting it, Gary? Do you know?
Down in, he turned into a dealer. He went down to Illinois. What's that place right over the border?
Illinois?
I can't remember. In Illinois, right over the border.
Yeah.
He'd come back and he at first he was the recipient of it. Then he turned into a dealer. Then he ended up getting caught and he went to prison. Now my son went to prison at 19 years old and was given a 21-year sentence. Okay. Not just for dealing, but he got into stealing drugs, got into cocaine and everything else. And fortunately, we ended up getting him out after like 9 years. Now he's 44 years old, married and got kids, got his own business, totally changed to the way he used to be. But when he was 17 years old, to the period, those 2 years before he went to prison, he totally changed. And I knew right away when he started skipping schools and his grades went from A's and he got kicked off the football team, the wrestling team.
Yeah.
You know, it just messed his life up and made life for us, Jane, pure hell.
Oh, Gary, sure. I can only imagine, and I feel terribly for you, and I feel terribly for any parent who has a child who has addiction problems. It's got to be just awful. It's got to be just awful. And again, I absolutely agree with you on the need for facilities to help people with drug addictions, but again, he was getting access to it however long ago this
was,
before even medical marijuana was even mentioned. So I don't know that that's, is this going to make it worse? I guess it's, if it just becomes more acceptable, I guess maybe it will, as far as the access to it for kids, for 17-year-olds to get their hands on.
Well, I mean, it's the thing is, in most states regulate the age. I believe it's, you should be 21 to get
it.
They treat it like alcohol. And true, the brain is not fully developed at 21, but this is a very different. I mean, I know friends of mine who started doing, you know, started smoking weed and got into other things, and others who just stopped or just still smoke weed to this day and are just whatever. They're random users.
No, I really appreciate your call, Gary. Absolutely. We have a couple more folks hanging on the line. If you want to join us, 844-967-2789. Stay close. This is As Goes Wisconsin. You're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry, Carol King, Greg Bach with me in the studio. Calvin's on the board. You can always join us. Text or call at 844-967-2789, 844-96.
Party.
Basketball tonight, Wisconsin hosting Chicago State, 6 o'clock. If you want to listen, you can catch it on WFHR, locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, or on WLAK Lake Air in Amory.
Amory.
Thank you. Amory, my favorite.
I love doing that.
My favorite place I've never been.
And I feel like we only do
it's
it
fun
like
to say, isn't it?
Once or twice a week, so it makes it
special.
Special.
You know what, though? Going back to what we were talking about with Gary, and it was a very compelling phone call, for sure.
We're talking about medical marijuana.
Right. But you made a very valid point in the fact that it's here. It's here. You know, the horse is out of the barn. How do you get the horse back in the barn? I don't know. So unless we have to start putting really severe limitations on who it's available for. And we're talking medical marijuana, basically.
That's the only thing that's being considered in Wisconsin right now. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
We're talking medical marijuana. 844-967-2789. Brian from Iguanago. Good morning, Brian. Merry Christmas. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Merry Christmas to all of you. I just want to make a minor comment to what the last caller said. And first, I'd like to also say that I'm sorry to hear about what his family had gone through. And I don't want any family to have to go through that.
Absolutely.
But I would like to ask if I could ever have a conversation face-to-face with Mr. Gary and ask him if he knows that when, since his son is older and has now gone through rehab and what have you and is sober, if he knows if his son can attribute his decline in his schoolwork and his athletics to anything else other than just smoking marijuana. Because I could be wrong, and I wasn't there to witness it, but I just find it hard and difficult to believe that just simply smoking marijuana completely did the a 180 with his son. And I'd like to just mention that or suggest perhaps possibly there could have been other factors that had caused his son to have such a drastic change.
Okay.
It seems extreme that just marijuana by itself would cause it. I'm not saying it didn't.
Right.
It could have. But, well,
but
you know,
there might have been other there might have been other things going on in his life that,
sure,
that led to this downfall. And even Greg pointed out, you know, he has friends who started smoking pot and then went to crack, and other people who smoked pot and it ended there.
Yeah.
So, I know we all feel for Gary and his experience.
Absolutely.
And any family that has a loved one with addiction issues. It's horrible.
Yeah.
It's just got to be horrible. Thank you so much for calling, Brian. Really appreciate it. 844-967-2789. We have John from Central Wisconsin. Good morning, John. Thanks for joining us. Merry Christmas.
Hi, John.
Hey, Merry Christmas. Is it me? Am I on?
You are.
Awesome. Hey, just want to piggyback on the last couple of calls there. I'm a child. I grew up in Seattle, and I moved to Wisconsin about 5 years ago. So I was around before it was legal, when it was, they were saying just medical. And then, to be honest, just medical, it's the next step. It's recreational. And I watched Seattle. I mean, I'd go down there. I graduated high school in the mid-90s. We'd go downtown, goof around, party, whatever. It was fun. And, you know, I smoked. All my friends did. But Seattle, after they, you know, there were big promises of all this money for schools, all
right,
this money. I have no idea where that money went. But I watched the city just turn into an open sewer. I mean, there are people killing themselves all day long with drugs in that city, and it was never like that before. I'm not saying that it's the weed that did it, but the way I saw what it really looked like was it was a permissive attitude toward all drugs. Now all drugs are essentially decriminalized in the city of Seattle and some of the surrounding areas too. And before I left, it was at the point where you're walking down the street right by all the big Amazon office buildings, and there are people with needles in their arms, and the folks in the city are so callous and so, I don't, maybe not callous, but they see it so much, they just step over these poor people who are just killing themselves on the street, and they don't even look at them. And I personally think, and full disclosure, I smoked a lot of weed in high school, okay? And I think it's a bad idea, the actual legalization. I always thought the best way to deal with that, you know, they catch a kid with a bowl or a couple grams, like, hey, man, I'm taking it, go home, kind of a thing. You
right,
know,
wink, right,
wink, nod, nod, Monty Python type of thing. Like, it's still illegal. We're not going to hammer you for it, but we're still got to, I think there still needs to be a level of unacceptability to it, because otherwise there's just an entire culture of acceptability for everything else. It all comes along. Wisconsin hasn't seen it yet. All the people I know here throw caution to the wind with this kind of thing, and I'm afraid even the medical, it's a foothold toward recreation. And again, man, if somebody wants to smoke a bowl, go for it. If you're an adult, you're not driving, whatever. And to talk to the guy before, and that guy's poor kid that went through all that.
Yeah,
I was a good grade student. Sophomore year, I started smoking. Went from a 3.6 to a 2.6, and eventually barely graduated high school because I was busy partying with my friends. And suddenly, you know, weed's fun, but hey, man, this guy's got some acid. It snowballs. It really does. And I wasn't the bad kid, but partying with all my friends, it snowballs along. So the whole gateway drug thing, I really think is real.
I think you have a point about the permissiveness of it, John. And we're running up against the break here, so we're going to cut you loose. Thank you so very much for your perspective. I think it's really valuable. You saw it firsthand, at least from when you were living out there. So
all these conversations need to happen.
Oh, for sure.
You know, I mean, really,
all valid points. And again, it's a different perspective. John saw it. So thank you so much for calling, John. Really appreciate it. David from Mequon is waiting on the line. Good morning, David. Real quickly, what did you want to say? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you all. I would support medical marijuana. I would not be for recreational marijuana. And the reason being is twofold. So some of the previous caller brought up Seattle. He's absolutely right. The Emerald City is a shell of what it used to be. It's a travesty. I would also mention Denver. It's unbelievable. It's like walking zombies. People are stoned out of their mind. And I have a cousin that lives in Colorado Springs, and that's where the Air Force Academy is located. And it's had a tremendous negative effect. And I would just point out one thing. Since it has been legalized, if you look on CNN, actually from, I think it was, well, let's see here.
You're gonna have to make it quick,
yeah,
David.
Yeah, it was from September 6th of 2023. They're showing the amount of people that are getting traffic accidents and what have you is going up exponentially and going to ER departments.
Appreciate your perspective, David. Again, I'm sorry, we're really short on time here. Thank you so very much for calling. Like Carol said, these are all conversations that are absolutely valid,
yeah,
and worth having. And
Need to happen.
And need to happen. We'll see what happens next. Hey, stay close. When we return, Mom and Dad, please don't do this.
Okay.
You're listening to As It Goes Wisconsin. We're on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mr. Grinch, you really
good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. So happy to have you with us. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry, Carol Kane, Greg Bach are with me in the studio. We've got Calvin on the board, and you can always join us. Call or text at 844-967-2789. Or if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter, you can join us there as well. I saw this in the Washington Post the other day, and it just made me go, what? Susan Lin is a psychologist at Boston Children's Hospital. She lectures on psychiatry at Harvard Medical School. She's written a book called Who's Raising the Kids? And this shocks me beyond belief. She did a deep dive on TikTok.
Okay.
Watching parents essentially scaring the crap out of their very small children and recording it and then putting it up on TikTok.
That's because everybody thinks that they're going to get their own YouTube channel and they're going to make all this money, and it's ridiculous. As a parent, now I will say, I will freely admit to the fact of, like, around Halloween or something, I'd go boo, you know, that kind of a thing. But this stuff is like seriously demented.
Absolutely. And I would think horribly scarring.
Yeah.
For a toddler. So yeah. One of the instances she saw, I saw toddlers of an age when many children are learning why poop should not be touched become increasingly agitated when parents put a fake glob of poop on them, which the kids then thought were real. Parents scaring babies with frightening masks. Parents terrifying five-year-olds about to start kindergarten by urging them to video chat with their new teacher and then scaring them not with their real teacher but with a horrible, scary mask. Why on earth would anyone do this to their child?
It's just a joke, Jane. Ha ha.
Come on, people. It's called Prank My Baby.
Oh, God.
Prank My Baby.
And the
I don't even think that I would do it. You know, I mean, if you're maybe 10-ish might be able to handle something like that. But you whatever happened to being a parent? I don't get it.
I don't either. I find this just so shocking and so mind-blowing that any parent would think that this is going to help build a well-rounded, secure human being. Isn't that your number one job as a parent, is to reassure your child that they're safe?
Well, and this article also, and rightfully so, quoted the fact that there was a case in Maryland where, because they were so cruel to their children, they lost their children.
Yeah.
They lost custody of two children because you're an idiot.
Because of the videos they were posting?
Well, it's just the they were pranking their kids.
Yeah, this is all for clicks. This is all for clout. It's to make money, and they're disgusting.
Well, who plays a practical joke on a toddler? They can barely identify their nose.
Right.
I mean, what kind of pleasure are you getting out of that? 844-967-2789. Jackie from Milwaukee is on the line. Good morning, Jackie. Merry Christmas.
Jackie.
Thanks for joining us.
Hi, guys. I think I'm too late because I listened to you driving around in the car, and I rushed home to comment on the medical marijuana thing. So, but I didn't want to hang up because I was listening to what you were talking about.
Oh, okay. Well, if we got you on the line now, Jackie, what did you want to say about medical marijuana?
Well, you know, alcohol is legal. Alcohol causes so many deaths. I watched my brother die a very slow death from it, and he was a strong guy, you know, and literally gets to the point where if you don't have alcohol, you die, and when you get to that point, you're almost dead, and he was a good person. So why is alcohol legal and marijuana isn't? I would tell him, why don't you take a pot? Why don't you take up marijuana? That won't kill you. You know what I mean? I don't understand that.
Thank you so much, Jackie. Really appreciate it. It's very complicated. It is. Alcohol is so much a part of our culture.
Mm-hmm.
Especially
in Wisconsin.
It's protected by heavy-duty lobbies.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is a political matter, too, of why we are the last of all these states to have any sort of medical marijuana, any sort of marijuana legalization is a nuanced discussion that gets into the wells of Madison politics.
Yeah. Okay. We'll figure it out.
Well, and the discussion is not going to end. I mean, this is going to be an ongoing discussion, obviously. We are talking right now, though, about Prank My Baby, which is a trend on TikTok where parents essentially scare the crap out of their very small children and then put it up online so they can get clicks for it. Now, I did know someone once who used to talk about how, but I think they were older. I don't think they were toddlers. So he would, like, jump out and scare them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they were older.
Probably.
But I also don't understand about where is the joy from scaring your own child?
Because you probably like it too, or you're around. That's the situation you're in as far as like you and your partner enjoy doing that to each other. So why wouldn't you do that to the kids? And hey, if we can make some money off of it, well, I mean,
even better.
That's the baseline, as far as I'm concerned.
Turning your kid into a potential idiot.
And I'm one of these odd individuals that I love to be scared. I love scary movies. I love like haunted houses and so love it all. I'm all in. But I also realize that that's not like everybody else.
Absolutely.
And I think we all, at some point in time, inadvertently, if we're roughhousing with our kids, maybe you know something happens and it's you don't mean to hurt them, but something happens or they're running through the house and you tell them to stop and they trip on a rug and they hit their head on the couch or something like that.
Right.
I mean, you know, I can't tell you how many times Liz rolled off the couch and I felt horrible. But the thing is that this I'm not posting. I'm with Greg. I'm not posting this on TikTok or YouTube and trying to generate money. And that I think that's actually the baseline.
Yeah. I mean, you're making money off your children's trauma.
Yes.
And there are going to be people who say, oh, you don't want to take a joke and don't be so serious and blah, blah, blah. Well, when parents are getting their kids taken away from them for going overboard, you tell the cops or Child Protection Services that they're going too far.
What's that line from? Did you ever see the movie Parenthood with
Steve Martin?
Steve Martin, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful film.
Yeah. And Keanu Reeves says to the one character, you know, you need a license to drive a car. You need a license to own a gun, but any idiot can be a parent.
That's right.
And, I mean, it's absolutely true.
It is absolutely true. It is. Again, we're talking about this trend on TikTok called Prank My Baby. And this author, Susan Lin, who is a psychiatrist, says, too, very young kids whose well-being relies on the consistent presence of loving adults don't have the cognitive wherewithal to see the humor being made a victim of a prank.
And you know
what? Their sense of what's real and what isn't is only just developing, so they tend to take, little kids take everything literally.
Yeah. Right, right.
What I'd love to do is talk to a child psychologist and figure out what kind of shock that causes a child. Like, you know, what level of terror that causes a child. And then I want to play a prank on the adult that brings the same level and be like, that's what your kid's feeling. I mean, it's the only way they would learn. They probably wouldn't learn because they're jerks. These are people who value money, clout, and popularity over their own children's well-being.
I mean, I even feel badly when I'm walking my dogs because they're big. They're big. They're big.
They're big. Yeah, they're big pups.
And they can, that can be scary for a kid. And I'm cognitive of, no, you don't walk. Hey, you want to meet my dog? No.
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 You know, I mean, this isn't even my kid. And if somebody's, you know, and I always am one that if a kid starts running out to my dog, I go, hang on. Where's your mom? Where's your dad?
Yep.
You know, I got to make sure that it's okay with them.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, that's something the parents should be teaching people. And actually, that's a lesson that adults should be taking, too. When someone's walking a dog, I just learned this a few years ago. If you see a dog and the dog is coming up to you, the first thing I always do is I say to the owner, is it okay if I pet your dog?
Yep.
Because that, I mean, I don't like people like, oh, I don't mind. I'm just going to go in there. I have a dog too. It's like, you don't know who this dog is. You don't know the owner. They might not like it. I know this is very, very off topic, but it's just about respecting your surroundings and
the
individuals, canine or human, around you.
And conversely, I think you should ask if you can pet someone's dog.
Exactly. Always. Yes. Always.
But I mean, that can be a scary thing for a child too.
Yeah.
I just don't. You're the adult, for Pete's
sake. You're
the
protector,
supposedly.
Act like it.
Yeah. And you raise your kid. If you raise your kid in a household where this is not only encouraged, but it's supplying a lifestyle. If you're making money off of this, guess what that kid's going to do?
Oh,
that kid's going to take that attitude to school, out their friends.
Into the world.
And you're going to get a call from someone saying, this isn't normal behavior.
No.
We don't teach our children like this at the school, and they need to stop. Where'd they learn it from? And they're not even going to have to ask that question because they'll know. Those teachers and counselors and principals will know that these are just a pack of idiots who are like, I'd rather have a Lamborghini than make sure my kid knows how to treat other kids right.
We're talking about this trend on TikTok called Prank My Baby, essentially where parents are frightening their toddlers, essentially for clicks. 844-967-2789 if you want to join us and weigh in on this. This woman, Susan Lin, is a psychiatrist. She said, putting up these videos of frightened, sometimes sobbing children to social media sites only makes it worse. In addition to harming the kid who is being pranked, the videos get so much positive attention that they normalize objectifying your children.
That's an excellent, excellent point. We have gotten so numbed by this social media trend that we are immersed in that we don't know. Some of us are so stupid, we don't know the difference between right and wrong anymore. Sorry, that's just I'm calling it like Carol sees it. Some people are just so stupid and they follow everything that they see as a trend on social media, thinking that it's funny. And then, you know,
I got to get in on this.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. You're an idiot.
I would venture to say they do know right from wrong. But I think that we live in such a society where that we see people doing wrong things all the time now and able to argue, scream, cry, whine and moan on social media to get their way, and they know that, like, oh, I'm doing something wrong. Like, I'm acting a fool inside of a restaurant. Well, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to get in trouble. It's not like the cops will arrest me. If they do, I'll just kick and scream until I, you know, like, I feel like they do know what they know what's wrong. They just don't care that it's wrong.
Well,
because what's been no consequences, it feels like anymore.
That's very true. And again, as this woman points out in this article, they're getting all these positive clicks. They're getting millions of clicks right on this stuff. And that is reinforcing their idea that this is a good thing to do.
Yeah.
Because I'm getting all this response to it.
Yeah.
We have seen bad behavior being so rewarded.
Absolutely.
Over the past, two decades
yes
now?
Yes, yes.
And it's just this, no.
Cindy,
no.
Cindy from Appleton is on the line. Good morning, Cindy. Merry Christmas. Thank you for joining us. Goes to Wisconsin. What do you want to say?
Merry Christmas to you as well. You know, I'm sorry, I just can't understand this. Why people think harming and traumatizing children is okay. I mean, this is just such a bad commentary to our society. And my question is, why does TikTok or any of these social medias allow it when children are harmed or people are murdered or pets are abused? Why do they allow this? They take a lot of responsibility for this, I believe.
You're not wrong, Cindy. They're making money, right?
They talked about in that article about putting in some sort of safeguards where if children were being harmed,
they would get flagged or something?
The platform would have to take action in some fashion. Now, granted, these are multi-billion dollar worldwide corporations. Will they? Probably not.
Probably not. All right. Thank you so much for calling, Cindy. Have a happy holiday. Stay close. Coming up at 11:06, we're going to be talking about this new dog respiratory virus that is going around. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your heart's a dead tomato splotch with moldy purple spots, Mr. Grinch. Your soul is an appalling dump heap, overflowing with the most disgraceful assortment of deplorable rubbish imaginable, mangled up in tangled up knots. You nauseate me, Mr. Grinch, with a nauseous super noss. You're a crooked jerky jockey and you drive a crooked hoss, Mr. Grinch. You're a three-decker sauerkraut and toadstool sandwich.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you so very, very much for joining us. Jane Matinair in for Kristen Bry. Carol Kane and Greg Bach are with me in studio. Calvin's on the board. You can always join us at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. And if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter, you can leave a message there as well. We've been talking about this article in Washington Post, and it's an opinion piece on this new trend going on TikTok called Prank My Baby, where parents essentially...
I wish everyone please watch the live stream. Every time Jane says Prank My Baby, I feel like she's ready to punch a computer screen.
It just is so wrong.
Yeah.
Where people randomly frighten their toddlers and then post it for laughs
right
on TikTok.
I think the only thing that I might have shocked Elizabeth when she was a toddler was on her first or second birthday. And like I made a cake for her.
Yeah.
And I put the cake right in front of her and I said, go for it. And she was kind of like,
what does that mean?
What am I supposed to, you know? And I'm like, I took her hands and I went into the cake. I said, come on, you know? And she was like, so disgusted as a toddler with me. I was just like, okay, well, this is a bad idea.
That leads me to a whole other question about, why is it so adorable when children have their first couple birthdays to have them smash the cake? I don't get it.
Can I tell you a fun story?
Real quickly.
Okay. First birthday parties for me and my sister. My sister's older. Her first birthday, they gave her a pink cake. Pictures of it. There's pictures of cake everywhere, all over the place. She smashed it through it. All the whole things that one-year-old is supposed to do. My birthday cake, a little brown cake. There's just a picture of a brown ring around my mouth because I ate the cake by myself and didn't waste a single bit. I'm like,
that's funny.
This is cake. I knew it won.
Different kids.
Yep.
Completely different kids.
Different kids with different heart problems.
844-967-2789. Rico from Rock County. Good morning, Rico. Merry Christmas. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, bud.
Hey, Merry Christmas to all of you. Yeah, this story you're talking about, this is crazy, but my mind goes back several years ago. I wonder if did this whole thing get started, because I know it was promoted on a late night television show, I'm not going to name it, where after Halloween, children would get up the next morning and mom and dad would hide all their candy they'd collected the night before. Just, you know, when the kid got up and wanted to know where his candy was, mom and dad, well, mom and dad got hungry last night and eat all your candy, and they would film the reaction of how the child would react to that. And I just can't help but wonder that this is just transgressed now to this sickness that you're talking about.
Oh, I can absolutely see the thread through that, right, Rico? Again, at what point in time did it become admirable to be frightening your own child? I'm ready to go.
So the question I have is, and I know exactly what Rico is talking about, and I know what show it is, and it's kind of funny. But my point is, parents have been doing this to their kids for years. We just started putting on a video as of recently. So that's the thing, is that's why I said you're going to have parents saying, well, you don't know what a joke is, and you know what was funny, because this has been going on for a long time. Parents have been pranking and pulling jokes on their kids for a long time. We just don't see it until now, because now people can actually make money on it.
You don't think
that in the 50s some dad like scared the living bejesus out of his kid because he thought it was funny?
Not when they're two.
How do you know?
I thank you so much for calling, Rico. Really appreciate it. I would like to think that people are a little bit better than that. Here I am being hopeful.
I know. And it was hard for you to do that,
it
too.
It is.
I just think that this is not I think this, the trend of putting it on video and putting it on social media is new. I think people making money off of it is disgusting. But there is no way that all of a sudden a generation of parents just discovered scaring and being prankful or mean or rude to your kids is new. That's not new.
Maybe I mean, I know I'm second oldest one in the room. We grew up in a different time, Carol and I.
Yeah.
Growing up in the 60s, the last thing my parents would ever have done is something like this.
Well,
ever. And they were pretty funny people.
But much like the whole discussion we had in the first part of the show, families are different.
Yes.
Upbringing is different.
True.
And we don't know. To say that didn't happen is improbable.
Naive.
It's not impossible, but it's improbable. We just don't know. I just think to say that maybe the millennial generation of parents are doing this and they started this is absolutely no.
Well,
no, this
if you're in your 60s and you were pranking your kids growing up, and I'm talking about your toddlers, not fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade. I'm talking about toddlers who are still trying to identify where their nose is.
Well,
if you've been pranking your kids, I want to hear it, please, and explain to me why this is so funny at 844-967.
Because I was a funny guy in the office.
2-7-8-9-8-4-4-9-6.
Party.
Yes.
Well, I felt, I mean, you guys, I totally traumatized my daughter when I left her accidentally at the gas station.
But that was
different.
An accident.
I know it's different, but, you know, I call that day the day that Liz almost got a horse. I almost bought her a pony because I felt so awful. But, I mean, she still talks, and she was probably 10 years old when that happened. And she still says, Mom,
remember?
I was really scared. Mm-hmm. You drove away, and I'm pounding on the trunk. And I'm like, oh, I'm a terrible mom.
You know, though, at this point, though, you said how long, she's how old now? She's 30,
34.
34 and she was 10. At this point, I think if she brings it up, I think at this point you reserve the right to be like, kid, go to therapy or get over it. You can't keep bringing it up. You're not getting a horse. You got your own horse money now.
Yeah, buy your own horse. Right. All right. Thank you so much, everybody, for checking in with us. When we return, we have the news coming up next. And when we come back, Dr. Keith Polson is going to be here. I'm really, excited is the wrong word, but I want to learn more about this.
Me too.
Intrigued. There it is.
It's called atypical canine respiratory disease, and that started showing up in Wisconsin in late October. Mm. So Dr. Polson with UW-Madison is going to be joining us and explain what this means if you're a dog owner and how serious this all is. Stay with us. Stay close. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We're here tonight.